Good morning, everyone. Let me ask you a question. How is your prayer life at this time? Or do you even have one? I know life is crazy busy and we often can't even find the time. Or maybe you've given up on praying because you're thinking, God's not listening to me anyways. But if you do, when you go into the silence of your room, or when you come early to Mass and place yourself before God, what do you pray for? When we do pray, we pray for our families and our relatives. We pray for people who are sick and those who suffer, especially those we know. How many of you here, on hearing Father Mike's homily last week, prayed for him and his mom? I know a lot of you did. When we pray, when we come in humility before God, who listens to us, and then we begin to question ourselves, and we recognize what is going on in the world and how divided we are in so many ways, it can seem very complicated for us sometimes. Life is messy. And I'll be honest with you, my personal prayer life is not perfect. Far from it. Sometimes it is difficult and hard. Sometimes I don't want to pray, and I find all types of excuses not to pray. And then if I force myself to pray, well, then it becomes a mandatory duty, and it's certainly not coming from the heart. And then I remember what my spiritual advisor said to me. He just says, kiss. K-I-S. Keep it simple. And so I try. Keeping it simple is what caught my attention in today's gospel. The prayer of one of the criminals hanging there with Jesus. It was a very simple but profound prayer. He didn't pray to be released from his suffering or faith. He didn't ask for the destruction of the people who imposed the death penalty on him. This man acknowledged what he had done, whatever it was. He recognized that he had been condemned justly. And then he prayed this. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This was a simple prayer, a very profound and powerful one. This criminal, this thief, in the very last moment of his life, recognizes Jesus as king. This man was about to be executed, somehow sees the kingdom with the eyes of his heart, and he wants to be part of it. If you think about it, this criminal next to Jesus steals heaven in his last breath. In a way, he doesn't ask for much. He asks to be remembered. He didn't ask directly to be part of that kingdom. He didn't feel worthy of it. He just asked Jesus to remember him. And then we hear mercy itself. Amen, I say to you today that you will be with me in paradise. Mercy has spoken. In just a moment, as he recognizes the power of the one who seems to be powerless, he becomes, and maybe once again, a thief. But this time, he asks to be remembered, and he steals eternal life from life itself. At that moment, God delivers this man from the power of darkness and transfers him into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. As we hear in St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, that the Son as emanating from the Father with all the power and dignity of God. I'll say again, to enter the kingdom of His Son is to experience being brought from darkness into light, and we gain our freedom through the forgiveness of our sins. St. Paul also tells us that Jesus is the image of the unseen God, the firstborn of all creation, in whom and through whom all things in heaven and on earth were brought into being before anything was created. He existed, and He holds everything in unity. This is a special gift that the Son is for us. Try to visualize this. Through Jesus taking on Himself, our human nature, we have been given access to the very being of God Himself. We have been given the access to the way God thinks, the way God loves. Being made in the image, we are called also to reflect in our lives the way God thinks and loves. And so the Son is called the bridge builder, pontifex, and mediator. For in His humanity as Jesus, He is the visible link between God and us. I want to share a story with you. Soren Kierkegaard is a philosopher and a theologian, and he tells a story about this king who fell in love with a peasant girl. This king knew that it was next to impossible for him to marry the girl. But the king was so powerful that he knew he could marry the girl and get away with it. But then another thought occurred to him. If he married this peasant girl and stayed king, there would always be something missing in their relationship. The girl would always admire the king, but she will never really love him. She would always be conscious of the fact that he was royalty, and she was merely a lowly peasant. So the king decided on another plan. He decided that he would resign his kingship and become a lowly peasant himself. Then he would offer his love to her as one peasant to another. The king realized, of course, that if he did this, the situation might backfire. She might reject him, especially if she thought him foolish doing this. The king finally decided that he loved the peasant girl so much that he would risk everything to make true love between them possible. Kierkegaard never told how the story ended. And he had two reasons for not telling the end of the story. First, the point of the story was the king's love for the lowly peasant girl. And it was so great that he renounced his royalty and his throne for her. The second part, why Kierkegaard never told the ending of the story, because the story is not finished. It is still going on. The story whose ending has still not been written. In this story is God's love for each one of us, because the king in the story is God, and the girl in the story is us. Only we can write the ending of this story. And what will it be? And I will add this. You, as the peasant girl, would you accept the king's love? Would you accept the sacrifice that he sacrificed everything, his royalty, because he loves you? Would you accept God's love? Or would you reject it? And today, in your own lives, right now, do you truly accept God's love for you? Because if we accept God's love, then it becomes our calling and our responsibility to become the mediating agents between God and the world, to proclaim the kingdom both in word and the way we live our lives. It is to spread and to share the invitation of God's love to others. And by this, they will know that you are my followers, that you love, have love for one another. Together with Jesus, we have a special mission to imitate him as bridge builders and mediators between God and the world. So here's my question. The gospel today is asking, with whom do we identify? Do we identify with the man on the cross? Well, maybe we're not criminals, but do we recognize our own sinfulness? The man who recognized Jesus innocent and realized that Jesus' death could be his passage to heaven, and he wanted to accept God's love. Do we want to identify with those who need God's love? Or do we remove ourselves from those and say, well, I don't need God's love in my life, and ignoring his love for you? Because this man hanging next to Jesus looked at him and prayed, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This man saw the man being executed next to him was the king of the spiritual kingdom. He realized that Jesus was the King of Kings. The spiritual is real. Jesus is the Son of God, and yet he is one of us, and we are members of this spiritual kingdom. And when we accept this truth, this changes everything, the way we approach life, the ultimate goal in our lives, our plan to achieve that goal. Everything changes because we realize that we are also members of the spiritual kingdom. We can experience the love of Jesus, and it compels us to live for Christ, and we want to spread that love to others. We choose to be people of forgiveness, not vengeance. We choose to be people of love and not hate, and we do not allow or support any form of prejudice or bigotry. We are the people of Jesus Christ, and we see everyone as God's children. We cannot join those who live in a way that say, we don't need God. We realize simply that we do need God, and we want the world to know Jesus is our King, and we want them to also know that Jesus is their King too. And as we pray, Jesus, remember us when we come into your kingdom.